Every year I look forward to this great feast of Corpus Christi. As I'm sure most of you are aware, that the words Corpus Christi in Latin, they translate into the body of Christ in the English. And we celebrate this, giving honor to God for the great gift of the Eucharist, knowing that every Mass, at the words of the priest on that altar, the bread and the wine cease being bread and wine at the level of essence, and they literally become God, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Do you believe that? I have to ask myself that too. Do I believe that? I want to share some statistics with you. Prior to about 1965, maybe a little bit later than that, 75% of Catholics believed in the real presence. That literally is God. When you come up for communion, you do not receive a wafer. You do not receive a symbol. You receive God Himself. Today, it's almost a complete inverse. According to a Pew survey study, I think in 2019, 69% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence. They believe at best that it's a symbol. Now that's troubling, to say the least. But of those, that's all Catholics, practicing and not. But of Catholics who come to Mass every Sunday, 38% of them don't believe in the real presence. They believe that it's merely a symbol. That somehow God is maybe present here during this event we call the Mass, but they simply receive a wafer. They consume wine. It's merely symbolic. I want to share with you the words of Flannery O'Connor, and I'm not an avid reader, but I learned this story from Bishop Barron. Flannery O'Connor was a very successful and prolific writer back in the early part of the last century, I believe it was. She was invited to a dinner by Mary McCarthy, who herself was a very famous and successful writer. Mary McCarthy was a baptized Catholic who had quit practicing her faith. Flannery O'Connor, by her nature, was very quiet, but she also felt very out of place among these very successful authors at this dinner, because she was a fledgling author at the time. So she sat quietly through most of the dinner, and Mary McCarthy wanted to engage her in the conversation, and knowing Flannery was a Catholic, she said, "Well, Flannery," she says, "I've always found the Eucharist to be a beautiful symbol." To which this quiet, meek Flannery O'Connor responded, "If it's merely a symbol, then I say to hell with it." The fact of the matter is, most Catholics today don't believe in the true presence. But even if the majority believes it's not true, it doesn't make it untrue. We live in a society of polls. This poll says 75% of people believe this and 65% of people believe that, and we tend to move toward the popular opinion. But the truth is what the truth is, even if we don't ascribe to it or even if we don't want to believe it. But don't take my words for it that it is truly God. Listen to the words of Jesus Himself. In John 6, which we call the Bread of Life Discourse. It begins with the feeding of the 5,000. Our gospel reading is Luke's version of John's beginning of chapter 6. And after he feeds the 5,000, they're hungry. They didn't have a McDonald's on the corner. They had to scrap for food. They all wanted to follow him. But he said, I will give you the true bread from heaven. And he said, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And then a year later, he said something very similar in the upper room at that Last Supper with those 12, and only those 12, the first priests, the first bishops. And there, as he celebrated this Passover, going back to our first reading from the order of Melchizedek, there the first priest mentioned in Scripture, he took bread and he took wine, but there he changed the words of Passover. Instead of a sacrificial animal, there he said over that bread, this is my body. And then he said with the chalice filled with wine, this is my blood. No equivocation. And then as a part of that same move from the Last Supper to his execution on the cross, this is my body. So the question is, why have we lost our Eucharistic faith? Like with anything, there are always many reasons. But I think one of the greatest reasons is we've just stopped adoring him. We've stopped our Eucharistic practice. Oh, we come to Mass. But if that's all it is, then this becomes functionary. St. John Paul the Great wrote in a beautiful encyclical, if you've not read it, I encourage you to read it. Those are all letters written to you, by the way, the encyclical letters of the popes. And there he says of Eucharistic adoration, it is pleasant to spend time with him. What do you do at adoration? Beautiful ad on EWTN from years ago. Young lady walks into this chapel, and there she kneels down at a Prado, and this voiceover says, in adoration, I look at him, and he looks at me. Remember last week I shared with you that story of my grandparents sitting in quiet. And I thought, oh, how boring. But that's mature love. No words need to be spoken, the sharing of hearts. We've stopped adoring. We've stopped processing, which we will do after this Mass. We've stopped our benediction services, where the people of God would gather around Jesus in the Eucharist. And there the priest, donned with the great garb of the Eucharistic liturgy, blesses the people with God himself. I've been involved in schools most of my priesthood. When I was at one school as a chaplain, and I was lamenting to one of the pastors, an older priest, who had been in that area for years. And I said, Father, you know, I offer Eucharistic adoration every Friday all day, and nobody comes. I said, it's like there's no Eucharistic belief here, and it's a Catholic school. And he was rather incredulous, and he said, well, let me ask you. He said, have you ever heard anybody speak against the Eucharist there? He was truly concerned that if there's anybody on the faculty or anybody else talking against the Eucharist, he was going to step in. I said, no, Father, I never have. But I said, I don't think you have to speak against the Eucharist. You just got to not speak about the Eucharist. Use it or lose it. I think another reason that we've lost our Eucharistic faith is this false dichotomy between faith and science. Our kids today are growing up believing and being taught that science is the only source of knowledge. And if it can't be scientifically proven, it can't be real. Well, that's demonstrably not true. Think of the astronomer who is seeking for the ever-expanding universe, the next galaxy that they haven't discovered, but he believes it's out there. What do we call that? That's called faith. Faith precedes understanding. And faith completes understanding when tangible knowledge reaches its limit. When we get to know somebody by their works and the way that they love us, and then they finally say, I love you, you got to assent in faith. You know, the church is not against science. In fact, the church has given the world science. You know who the author of the Big Bang Theory is? A Frenchman named Georges Lemaître. Father Georges Lemaître. One of the fathers of genetics, Gregor Mendel. He's a Franciscan friar. Lemaître, a close friend of Einstein. No, faith and reason, faith and science go hand in hand. And the church has used science to show the reality of Eucharistic miracles. In 1996, I believe it was, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, the then Cardinal Archbishop, his name is Jorge Bergoglio, he got a phone call from one of his priests. By the way, you might know Jorge Bergoglio by another name, Pope Francis. He got a call from one of his priests, said, Bishop, you need to come here and come quickly. So this weekend at Mass, a host fell to the ground and it was not consumable. Not sure why, but couldn't consume it. And so he followed the protocol where you take that host and you dissolve it in water and store it in the tabernacle until it dissolves sufficiently. And then you put it into the sacrarium, which is a special sink that goes directly into the ground. He said, I did that. And 3 days later, I went back and there it had turned to flesh and blood. So after some time, they sent a sample to a scientist from Columbia University by the name of Dr. Frederick Zugibe, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And they didn't tell him what it was or where it came from. They just said, please analyze this and let us know what you find. He and others from 1970 to the present have studied not only this Eucharistic miracle, but the one from Lanciano, Italy, from the year 750, and then one from a town in Poland from more recent. And here's what they found in all of them, using advanced science and biology. In each case, it was human in origin, containing human DNA. The blood type is AB. The white and red blood cells that were present, along with the hemoglobin and the microphages, indicate that the blood was fresh. Year 750 now, the blood is fresh. And in each case, the matter was shown to be myocardium of the left ventricle of an inflamed heart. What caused the inflammation? Extraordinary trauma. Here's what Dr. Frederick Zugibe said. He said, if white blood cells were present in the heart tissue, it is because at the moment you brought me the sample, it was pulsating. Flannery O'Connor again. If it's merely a symbol, I say to hell with it. And if it's merely a symbol, then I will leave this pulpit and never come back. And that's not hot rhetoric. I mean that from the depths of my being. I had a pretty darn good job. I made pretty good money, and I could do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. I did not give up my life for a symbol. I didn't give up my life for a myth, and I won't. But I will try to give my life for him. Who gave his life for me and you. This is not merely a supper. It's not merely a meal. You see, in the last 50 plus years, we have pushed aside the reality of the sacrificial nature of this to make it into merely a social event. It is a meal. But when's the last time you had a meal that didn't require sacrifice? Something had to die to feed us. But whereas that meal of a nice steak dinner is given to us for the good of our physical lives, this meal requires a sacrifice, not of a sacrificial animal, but of God Himself, who said, this is my body and this is my blood. If it's true, then I got to give my whole life to him, and so do you. I cannot be ashamed of processing him through the streets. I cannot say I'm too busy to come to Mass on Sunday or to stop in on my way to work for Eucharistic adoration, even if it be for 5 minutes. If he's given me this, can I not give him me? You ask me, Father, do you believe? Yeah. I believe. And I ask God to help my unbelief.